title. I was nervous meeting him, and I had only been in the business for 6 months. And here he was, the father of the banjo. I listened to all his music as a kid. And he turned around, I was always paying him, and with almost tears in his eyes said how he thanked me for giving him a break of him and his sons touring with this new thing. And I'm saying to myself, this is Earl Scruggs. And he's telling me this. It was like, I was like astonished. And to this day, that may have been the best experience I've ever had with any band.
Welcome to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. This is a show about entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. My guests know that business in Colorado is special. Past shows, my Audible book list, and subscriber info is available at proco360.com. Again, that's proco360.com. In this episode, I'll be speaking with music legend, actually music promotions legend, Chuck Morris, president and CEO of the Rocky Mountain region of AEG Live. Actually, this is segment two. This interview was going so well, I decided to break it into two parts. And so if you missed segment one, I hope you'll go back and check that out. And so we're continuing the conversation now with Chuck Morris of AEG Live. And their venues in Colorado, for example, include the Bluebird Theater, the Ogden Theater, Gothic Theater, Red Rocks, Fiddler's Green, and the Pepsi Center. I'm going to really continue this conversation with Chuck, talking a lot about the business of the music and the live acts industry. And we'll continue, as Chuck has in segment one, sprinkling some stories of live acts and some really interesting, fascinating people he's met along the way. Again, Chuck, thanks for joining me on ProCo 360.
It's been fun.
Yeah, we'll continue. And first, I want to thank show sponsors, MicroStar Keg Logistics. These guys are entrepreneurs for beer entrepreneurs. MicroStar is a Colorado company that helps craft brewers expand by handling the logistics of keg distribution. Also, Community Banks of Colorado, they go big for small business. They've been committed to this show since it started, demonstrating their love for entrepreneurs. So, Chuck, let's keep going, shall we?
Sure.
And again, we were having so much fun in segment one. We were talking about how you got started, the whole business of promoting live acts. And you had touched on sort of this notion of how the balance of power in the industry has shifted, and how bands used to make money performing so they could sell albums. Now it's the opposite. I want to talk about the balance of power in the industry as well. As the market, I mean, it used to be that the radio stations and the recording labels had all the power in the industry, right? Things have changed now. What's your take on all that?
Well, as everybody knows, or they should know, you know, record companies, many have gone under. People aren't selling albums like they used to. A lot of music is free on the internet. I mean, I have two younger kids that, you know, they don't listen to commercial radio. They go on YouTube and all sorts of other, internet ways to listen to music. And record sales are basically about over. Record stores are about over. Who ever thought that some of the great record chains like Peaches and a whole bunch more would be out of business? Mm-hmm. You still can get records at Walmart. And independent stores like Paul at Twist and Shout are amazing. But that's a lifestyle, what he does.
Sure. Sure.
The independent chains in America. But that's not only just records, it's posters, it's LPs, it's an amazing thing.
Well, I'm thinking in particular sort of the sort of fragmentation of the market, that acts don't need necessarily to be signed by a label initially in order to get traction and that sort of thing. What do you know, how do you as a live act promoter find these emerging acts that are essentially YouTube hits or whatever the case?
Well, you can find out how many hits some of these bands have on YouTube and go from there. And, you know, it's still a business of word of mouth. You want to talk about business. It's funny. I've never looked at myself as a businessman. I looked at myself who's loved music since I was 10 years old and went into the music business, although I don't consider myself a businessman, although by osmosis, I've learned to be a pretty good businessman. And, of course, I'm part of AEG with a guy named Phil Anschutz, who's the most brilliant businessman I've ever known in my life. And he's certainly a great role model for all of us.
Yeah. Now, when you have you ever promoted an act that you found on YouTube, for example? Can you think of any?
Yeah, we have.
Or our years just tend to be bigger.
No, some of them we have, and I have younger or people in my, you know, two great partners in Brent Fugisi and Don Strasberg, who really are on the cusp of some of the younger bands. You know, I've sort of changed my role. You know, when I was at Faye, I was sort of the ears of Barry, and I would listen to every record that came out, and if I liked it, I would book a band, one like a Lynyrd Skynyrd or a U2 or a Marshall Tucker or bands like that when they were just getting started.
Oh, really? And you liked them and booked them?
Oh, absolutely.
Before they were big.
I did 5 nights of Lynyrd Skynyrd on the first tour at Ebbets Field. I did 10 nights of a band called The Outlaws, who broke big time, mostly out of Denver. But today I have other people that are much more hip to some of the newer music. I'm more of an orchestra leader now, you know, finding new buildings, picking great people that will join our company, you know, being a cheerleader for the company. Yeah. I do different things than I did when I was younger.
Well, you know,
and I have other people that are more of the ears that, like I used to be to Faye in the 70s and 80s.
Well, during our break, you were talking about how important the team is and that it's way beyond you.
What's been great is I've had great people like Brent and Don who have been with me since we started Chuck Morris, Bill Braham Presents, which morphed into Live Nation, and I took most of the Live Nation staff with me when I started AEG. But my assistant Jan Martin's been with me 38 years. We've had production people with me for 30.
And thanks to Jan, by the way, I'll give her a shout out. She's the one who finally connected us.
She's the greatest.
And one of the points you made a few minutes ago was that you never really thought of yourself as a businessman, but you love music, and that's how you got started. You know, for every one of you, there's probably 10,000 other young men and women that don't think of themselves as businessmen and women that just love music and want to do what you do, but. Most people never get to get there, right?
That's
so what's
correct.
The difference? How much luck was it? Was it that you went to the sink and happened to get lucky and that you called Barry Fay? What was it?
Well, you got to take it. First of all, you have to take advantages of openings and sometimes make your own openings to get to grow. You have to love what you do. I'm still not, even after all these years, not tired of music. And I guess the day I get tired of is the day I will retire. And so that passion is so important. But, you know, I've learned how to be a pretty good businessman because it's very important because you can, you know, it's tough making money in the music industry and you really have to have it together to do it.
Well, you said you still, after all these years, love what you do. And you've been in the industry, what, 48, 49 years? It's a significant career. How do you stay in tune with the parts of the market that, you know, or do you, the acts that are dominated by people in their 20s or 30s? I mean,
well,
how do you stay relevant
these days,
in that world?
I have a staff of almost 55 people, and then we also control the Northwest, so I have 25 people in Seattle. And we have people like I was in the 70s that know everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, electronic music, I'm no expert on that. We have people in our office that are. And
do
we book bands like Pretty Lights and Bass Nectar who are huge.
Do those people look to you for what kind of advice do they look to you for?
You know,
the ones that are in their 20s and 30s that work for you.
I think they just, when they look to me, it's my experience and how I got where I was and how they can get there the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, and you know, I'm a pretty good cheerleader too. And some people have called me the Pied Piper because a lot of people have followed me from one company to another the few times that I've moved. And I guess I'm pretty good at orchestra leading a big organization.
Well, that says something about the kind of leader you are. If they're following you from one company to the next, what do you think about you makes them want to stay with you as you move?
I think the biggest thing that I learned that when I started, after I left Faye, that when I had my own company or a company that I really ran as the number one guy, that I would make it fun. The music business is very difficult and very strenuous and very hard. And if you can't have some fun while you're doing it, it's not worth it.
But that's not what it looks like from the outside. From the outside, it looks like everyone's having fun and it's really...
Oh, no. I try to lighten it up and have a good time and keep a lot of levity around the office, but it's a very serious and very tough business.
When people get into it, they think they're getting into something fun, don't they?
Yeah, and there's been a lot of people that have tried that have fell on their face, and people, I'm always astonished, but not surprised, how many people want to be in the music business because they think it's fun, easy, they love music. But it's much more than that.
It's I would think there are people that you deal with sometimes that get in for fun, and then they just must look at themselves in the mirror and say, holy crap.
Yeah, what have I done?
Well, this is hard.
Yeah.
The hours, the pressure, isn't it?
Hey, I started my first major club, which was Salagi's. I mean, I washed the floors in the place. I mean, I booked all the shows, but, you know, you got to – I always tell kids, and I do a lot of teaching at – not a lot, but I guess lecture at colleges and even high schools around here. And I always tell people that, you know, unless you're willing to – the most important thing to start it and to start making it in the music business is to get in the front door anywhere. And I always tell people, do something when you're in college part-time. Work at a local agency, booking agency, management firm, radio station, anything, and get in the front door. That's the most important thing. And then learn everything you can about it.
And you have to commit to doing it, I suppose, through the rough.
And you got to love it, because if you don't, you're going to get washed out.
Yeah. Hey, I'll remind our listeners that you're listening to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and this is the show featuring entrepreneurs and business leaders who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm speaking with Chuck Morris, president and CEO of AEG Live. Hey, I wonder, my wife and I are fans of a Greeley-based, a soul band, and called the Burrows. I'll give them a shout out. We love them, and they're a great band. How does a band like that, or any other band that's good, get traction in the midst of this crowded space?
Well, I always tell bands, young bands, these days, don't waste your time. But, you know, in the old days, and some bands still do this, is they go spend a lot of money on a demo or a record that they put out themselves. And I think a young band today should spend all their time playing everywhere. And a perfect example is a band that I managed for years and I still promote, which is Big Head Todd and the Monsters from Columbine High School. And we do them every year at Red Rocks. So I managed them for a lot of years. And what they did was they got a beat up old van and ran around the country, literally knocking on doors of fraternity houses and playing, and built a following.
Wow.
And that is a perfect example of how a band can make it. And you still today, go out there and play. Get to be a great live band and get to have a fan base. And the rest will follow.
But they must have played in front of some really small audiences.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of demeaning.
Little tiny clubs. Yeah, but they don't know it at the time. They were just getting started. And I saw them at Herman's Hideaway in 1988 and said, these guys are so great. And I chased them for about a year and a half and then managed them for a bunch of years and got them a record deal. And I no longer manage them. I've sort of retired from management, but still promote them every year. They'll be coming back to Red Rocks this summer, as always, and probably sell it out.
Wow.
But they usually do, and they've had a wonderful career. But they started the right way, which was go get a fan base and become a great live band.
Wow. And, you know, that's an interesting thing, because really anyone today can get a fan base. If somebody sees you live.
Oh, YouTube too.
Then they'll follow you, right? They'll follow you. You can promote yourself via social media in ways that you were dependent maybe 30 years ago, dependent on a label. Now you can do yourself.
Yeah, there's a great organization called So Far Sounds, which is in about 200 countries. It's basically in different cities, and they have a guy who runs it in each city, and they audition people, and they take a secret small place, no more than 100 seats, and sell tickets for $15. Don't tell people where it's going to be until the night before. And they have three really good local bands. And the winner gets to be on their YouTube. And people should look into that. I have my son Zachary runs So Far Sounds. He's only a sophomore in Fort Collins, but he runs it in Fort Collins.
Wow,
they're in Denver. They're all over the world. I mean, all over the world.
That sounds like a blast for anybody who likes music,
too. I went to Havana with the governor on a business trip. And they're in Havana, and it's an amazing organization.
Wow, that sounds. Thanks for the tip. Yeah. And what I'm gonna shift gears now to around this notion of leadership in a live act kinds of a business. What do you think? What key principles about how you run your business and how you run live events do you think are applicable to other kinds of companies?
Well, in terms of what our product is, the most important thing is to have a great experience for the fans, is to have a great experience for the bands that play for you, is if you can build or buy or fix up buildings and make the concert hall or club or whatever size or amphitheater as good as it can be.
Well, you've really got two customers because you've got the end consumer who's buying tickets, but you really have to sell to the band mm-hmm. first, don't you?
Well, a perfect example is I got approached by the city of Broomfield. They had a place called the Broomfield Event Center, which was not doing very well. They had minor league basketball and hockey in there. It was a wonderful brand new building, but was doing not very well. And, you know, it had a great potential, but it basically the inside looked like a high school gym. Broomfield came to us. We took it over 6 years ago, changed it to the First Bank Center, put a bunch of things to make it look more like a club, and we've had a big, big run in the last 6 years.
And now bands see that and they want to come.
Yeah. Fiddler's Green is another example where it was sort of in disarray, not the most beautiful amphitheater in the country, to say the least. We took it over, put a bunch of money into it, rebuilt every building, did all sorts of stuff, and we're having some great years there now. And now the bands who were, it was one of the weakest performing amphitheaters in the country, is now one of the highest.
Well, and there's something more beautiful and special about it now since you took it over when I remember it from years ago.
Yes.
Years ago, it felt like it was just kind of stuck there. And now it feels like it's a more joyful, beautiful surrounding. I like it much
better.
Well,
when I started, Chuck Morris, Bill Graham, and wanted to buy the old beat-up Mammoth Gardens and build a Fillmore, which I did, people thought I was crazy because Mammoth was falling apart, almost condemned. But I felt that the ambiance of a 1911 building could be really great. Oh. And we took it over and changed it, and it's done very well. And I'm no longer associated with that now that I left that company. Yep. But, you know, you do the right thing for the customer and for the artist, the right ambiance, the right sound, the right everything, treating them well. They'll come and the bands will come.
Well, you say they'll come and the bands will come, but it seems to me what I'm hearing from you today is that you need to romance the bands first. You need to attract the bands first before you can actually have a customer experience.
They sort of go hand in hand. And if you fix up the right place or buy the right place or build it, word of mouth in the music industry is pretty good.
So facilities
and word of mouth of the customers that go to rock shows are pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's so important.
Well, I'm going to remind our listeners that you're listening to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and I'm speaking with Chuck Morris, President and CEO of AEG Live. And we've got a little time left, and I want let's reflect some on your career because you've had so many rich experiences. I mean, experiences that most of us just can't fathom. And when you think back,
I can't fathom either. Yeah. To be honest,
when you think back, I mean, you've got so many, and I know I get that. But when you think about a couple that are really gratifying to you and your career, what come to mind?
You know, it's funny. I've been interviewed about what was my greatest night with a certain band. And still to this day, my favorite story, and it's not with the Rolling Stones or it's not with some pretty big acts we work with like U2 and the Stones and people like that. In fact, right now, AEG is doing the Stones around the world. Mm. My greatest night, even though it was early in my career, is still one of my greatest nights. I booked at Tulagi's the Earl Scruggs Review, which was Earl and his kids had this band, and they were going out for the first time, and Flat and Scruggs had broken up, and it was the first time he had started his new career. And I was the biggest Earl Scruggs fan because I was, you know, loved music and loved players. And he was the father of the five-string banjo. And I idolized him. And he came and played Tulagi's with his three sons and his band. And in those days, you paid the artists. It wasn't a five-man crew. And I'm sitting there paying Earl at the end of the show. And he was my idol. I was nervous meeting him. And I had only been in the business for 6 months. And here he was, the father of the banjo. I listened to all his music as a kid. And he turned around as I was paying him and with almost tears in his eyes said how he thanked me for giving him a break of him and his sons touring with this new thing.
Wow.
And I'm saying to myself, this is Earl Scruggs. And he's telling me this. It was like, I was like astonished. And to this day, that may have been the best experience I've ever had with any band, to see an idol like that, one of the greatest musicians in his genre ever, say some nice things about me at an early part of my career just blew my mind. And today, that's still one of my favorite stories.
Wow. What, reflecting on other experiences, do you have any early that sort of shaped how you do business now, things that you do differently because you've got experience than the ways you approached business in the past?
Well, the business side of the music business is now so much more important. I mean, you know, when I started in 1970 at Tulagi's, you know, the bands worked on a percentage of the gate. It was pretty sloppy. Bands didn't have a lot of lawyers and accountants and bands and agencies didn't have their own marketing people that checked on everything we spent. And I'm not complaining about it. It just has changed dramatically. It's more of a business. And I've learned to change with that. You know, I've learned to reinvent myself to realize that it is so tough to make dollars that you really have to have a sharp business side. And, you know, I've gotten pretty good at it, but I also surround myself with great people on the business side, and certainly AEG does.
Does that change how you think about the industry? I mean, looking back, when you first got into it, it was all about the love of music. It was all, right, the enthusiastic approach to that world. And now you've said you've learned to change to have a more of a business view. How does that feel?
Yeah, but
to
I still think it's about the love of music. You just have to have both sides together. I really do. I mean, the people that have continued in our business, that have survived, love the music. You just have to have a new side that has to be just as important. That doesn't mean the love of music isn't there, because if you don't have love of music, this job is way too hard to get into it and to survive.
Well, I think that's probably a good note on which to end our time together. I want to wrap up. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, on Proco 360's Pro Business Colorado, and I've been loving my conversation, both parts.
Likewise.
With speaking with Chuck Morris, President and CEO of AEG Live in Rocky Mountains. If you haven't listened to segment one of this interview, I think you'll enjoy that as well. Again, AEG Live is the company that owns and books venues like Red Rocks, the Bluebird, Pepsi Center, Fiddler's Green, and many, many more. Thanks again, Chuck. It's been great. I was looking forward to this interview, and I'm glad you joined
me. It's my pleasure.
Excellent. This is Dave Tabor. Thanks again to show sponsors MicroStar Keg Logistics, Community Banks of Colorado, and Jones and Keller. Thanks to my producer, Luke Woodruff. Luke is in, even though he's got the flu today, and he's in taking care of me and my guests. So this show and past shows are available at proco360.com. Go there to subscribe. Again, that's proco360.com. Thanks for listening.